Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries, another episode of Using My Keys. This is your host, Valerie Burrell, with my co-host this morning, Minister Hope Pettis. Grateful to God for another opportunity to come and share with you all. This month, we are talking about love. We've talked about I Want to Know What Love Is. We've talked about whose definition of love are you living by, God or man? And this morning, we're going to talk about life and love and life, how they're together and apart, how we're supposed to live, how he desires we live versus how we do live. And I'm excited for what God will open up for us. I want to remind you, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we're going to have a singles perspective on love. Do we know what love is from a singles perspective? We have a panel of six singles, different age groups, that will share with you their thoughts on whether they really know what love is based on what they've experienced and what they desire in the realm of love. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. Minister Hope, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. So this morning, we talk about life and love and life. Many of us see it differently, we feel it differently, we communicate it differently. But this morning, we just want to have that conversation about what it is we feel that God desires from us as it relates to love. Not that puffed up, fuzzy stuff. You know, I'm one who loves Hallmark Channel, you know, Hallmark movies, where you know every movie is going to end with a happily ever after and every kiss begins with K.
Yeah.
You know, your last scene with that left foot kicked up and that ooh-wee moment because, oh, I'm so in love. But as it is with the lives that we've lived, and for some of you who are on the line this morning, everything that we've experienced about life and love has not been that perfect story. It has not been that perfect ending. It hasn't always been that, you know, I end up in his arms and that left foot is kicked up and I experience that fuzzy, warm, yummy feeling about the experience called love. So I just want to talk about it. I opened up the word for Psalm 118, but God gave you something regarding to how we're to live. So share that with us.
Yeah, when you said we were going to talk about love and life, I said, God, we're talking about love all this month. You know, what about life? And he was asking me, well, what does it mean to live? And mm-hmm. he said, what does it mean for you to live? And I said, well, to glorify you. And he said, okay, well, what about political correctness? Now, people might think this is way off of love and living. But I was like, okay, well, political correctness is an attitude or policy of being careful not to offend or upset any group of people in society who are believed to have a disadvantage. I said, well, God, what has this got to do with us knowing how to live or how to love? And he was saying, because of political correctness in the quote-unquote church, there's no knowledge of the Word of God. There's no truth being taught. And instead, because of political correctness, emotions are being caressed. And this mm-hmm. is how people associate love is to emotion. So self is being promoted. Religious highs are being dispensed. You know, we have charismatic preachers, tickling the ears of people. He was like, but the truth of my word is not being spoken. Therefore, mm-hmm. because the truth of my word is not being spoken, they don't know how to live and they don't know how to love. They don't even know what it means. So because of the political correctness of the church or worldly constraints, they don't know how to do so. Because of that chokehold, they don't know what to live and they don't know how to love. So God was like, okay, so you're saying that you live to glorify me. Okay, well, that's what the word says. And I'm like, well, why do I even live? You know, why do I live? And people don't understand that how special we are to him, that we were created to glorify him. So Isaiah 43, verses 4 through 7 says, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So first of all, we need to know the first truth is that we were created to live to glorify him. And it's just, that's just very simple. And then I'm like, but what do we do? I'm like, even the simplest things of what we do, we glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Not for self, but to glorify God. So I think people need to first realize, one, so what does it mean to live? What is our purpose in living? And we've talked about our identity and our purpose several times on the show. And it's not about us. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 13 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as though the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom we be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So everything we do is to glorify God. So what does the love come in? Yeah. So we see how the world has twisted, one, how we live and how we are supposed to love.
Amen. Amen. I was looking at Psalm 119. In the Living Bible, it reads this. It says, happy are we who perfectly follow the laws of God. Happy are we who search for God and always do his will and walking only in his path. You have given us your laws to obey. Oh, how I want to follow them consistently. Then I will not be disgraced, for I will have a clean record. Verse 7 goes on to say, and after you have corrected me, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey. Oh, don't forsake me and let me slip back into sin again. How can a young man stay pure? By reading your word and following its rules. I have tried my best to find you. Don't let me wander off from your instructions. I have thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that they would not hold me back from sin. Blessed Lord, teach me your rules. I have recited your laws and rejected in them more than in riches. I will meditate upon them and give them my full respect. I will delight in them and not forget them. As you were sharing about the political correctness, it's unfortunate that even in the political correctness that people adhere to as their direction for living and loving, they still do it according to man's precepts and principles and don't adhere to God's word.
Right.
Whether it's in the church or whether it's in the street, what seems to be prevalent is that you see the same type of actions and reactions in both places. You see the same demonstrations of life and love in both places. So what then does that say for those of us who love God, who know that we're called according to his works, who have purpose in the earth, who are trying their very best, their utmost, to live upright before God and man, that we want to express this genuine love to all who will receive it, where then does that leave a place for us to be?
Exactly.
Because if you go into the church, as many of us do, and I'm not, and I thank God for the church because we need it. But we need to be in a safe place in the Lord. We need to be in a place where we're being rejuvenated and regenerated, and our minds are being opened up. Pastor Sipkins always said, get your mind right. We need to be in a place where we're all getting our mind right and not having to be subjected to ritualistic teachings that only promote men and not promote God.
Right.
And that's what stifles us from being able to live and to love. Because now, if I don't adhere to God's word, if I don't hold it in my heart so that I don't sin against him, if I don't have a relationship with him, then I'm just spitting out a bunch of words because it makes somebody else feel good. But as you stated, God said, he wants us to glorify him in our lives. Because he is the example of all that love is. God says, I am love, and if you're here to glorify me, then you have to glorify me through loving. But I can't love if I don't even know what's required of me.
Exactly.
I don't know how to live. I don't know what you want. That I hear that. I mean, hope you hear that too. So many people are lost. They don't know what they're feeling because they've not really been able to experience life and love with God. Then they don't know how to translate life and love over to individuals. If I can't find myself in God, and I think we touched on this on Wednesday. If I can't know myself, know how to live on my with relationship with God, how am I going to live with someone else?
Yeah.
How am I going to love them when everything that I'm basing love on and life on is somebody else's, not God's, but somebody else's image of what I should do, where man will be glorified in what I do and not God?
Right.
I go back to how we started this month. I want to know what love is. And I think that as we continue to have this conversation, it will affect how we truly will live our lives. Let's get in our own faces. Based on the things that we've been exposed to, the things that we've been taught, the different places that we've been, how do you feel it's affected your ability to live and to love?
I mean, well, it's all jacked up. I mean, because it's strictly based on emotion, or what can, if you do this, then I will return, quote unquote, love you. That's not what love is. I shouldn't have to, you know me. I told you from the jump. I don't want to be. I don't want no pats on my head. I want what God says straight up. I don't want anything milk. I don't want to be, you know, titled. I need to hear what is it that the Word of God is saying about me. What does He say do? I don't want to hear about
what everybody else
says, because I know from me, in my personal experience, I keep going back to the church. It was, I needed to be taught is, what does God want for me? What does He want
me to do?
Not what is it that I can do to elevate
the church standing and say in the community.
Everything has been
twisted,
and so when we just get back, we just have to get back. Have to keep going back to this, back to basics. What is it? What does God say? Seriously, what does
God say in His Word, and what does He say do?
Man has, pulled Scripture and has, twisted it to where it works for him. It elevates him, and it doesn't let us know what to do or how to, as what God wants us to do. So because we don't know how to love, we have allowed ourselves to be used, oh my gosh,
the enemy has just taken us like every which road, but we have missed the main road of what God wants us to do. So because we are so off track and we have put ourselves through all of this junk, now we have to sit here and retrain our mind as to what love really is. What does God say love really is? He is love. Okay. We have to love one another. Okay. I have to love my neighbor. Okay.
As myself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As myself, really.
We have to love those who do all manners of evil against us and despitefully use us. We have to love.
Yeah.
We have to do all these things. These are all requirements that will glorify him. Mm.
But you know, when I remember when I was little.
I'm talking, baby.
When I was little,
I didn't know what race was. I had no idea, no clue. Okay, I just know they're my friends. Okay, whatever. And it wasn't until I got older. I said, what do you mean I got to check a box about my race? What's a race? What is that?
All right. Then as I got older, if I was talking to someone who was not my color, I was this. So then all this hatred, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what is it?
But I go back to where I was like, God, I want to go back to where
it was just, I just knew
you. I didn't know what
everybody
else's opinions and everything else was. You know, all this stuff. I'm saying that to say also even with love, how it was twisted. So
race.
You know, I was blind to that. With love, I remember
a particular instance when someone had committed involuntary manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not, for myself, I couldn't hate the person. Everybody else was hating the person because of what he did. And on my own question was, why did this person have to die? You know, and I was like,
how come I'm not like
everybody else? How come I can't hate him like everybody else does? But then I had to put myself in a situation as him. I was like, what if that was me? Would I want everybody to hate me for making a mistake? You know, so I have to go back on what is God's love for us? Why should I judge that person? You know, but because the society has taught me that I need to hate that person, I was having a conflict with it. Did I go all the way off based on that? Did you see what I'm saying?
I do.
I was taught, no, you have to hate this person because he hurt this person.
Mm-hmm.
You have to not like these people because they're different from us. Why? I'm not understanding it. So because of man's teaching, it just conflicted with what God had already put in me.
Right. So even at that, your ability to live life and to love according to God's plan, it had already been tainted. They were, even at that, you know, and that's why it's important that we know the fullness of God's word, because the word says to train up a child in the way that he should go. And I don't care how old my daughters get, they're going to always be my children. And I'm going to continue to always try to do something to train them up. But when we start projecting our biases on our children without giving them knowledge of what God is saying about it, because we don't have the knowledge or understanding, we send them off on these journeys. And then when things start happening in their lives that conflict what we desire, and we start seeing our children being misguided and hurt and getting with the wrong crowds as we see it and all these other things, we want to blame our children for their choices when in fact, we didn't teach them how to love. We didn't give them the proper components to help them live their life to the fullest.
Right.
So, you know, it's amazing to me. I was talking to my husband the other night after the basketball game, and I told him, I said, you know what? I would love it if you would just give me 5 minutes with those players. Just give me 5 minutes with those players and the coaches. Just give me 5 minutes. Baby, if you would just give me 5 minutes with them. Because I want to instill something in them to make them realize who they are so that they can live. because I watch these young people who have all the basketball skill and the agility and they run fast and they shoot well, but to look at them, they have the mindset of failure. They don't see themselves as successes. They don't see themselves as champions, but they've got skill. And I told them, I said, all the skill in the world will not make you a champion. Like, all the knowledge in the world will not make you anything other than I've got good sense, I've got book sense.
Right.
But it doesn't make you anything in the eyes of God if you don't know how to apply his principles to your life.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Life and love. Love and life. They go hand in hand. We can't have one without having the other. But as it is, we have an idea of love, which means now we have an idea of what life should be based on love. We say God is love, but we only say God is love when God allows something good to happen in our lives. We always say God is love when we're going through trials and tribulations. But the word tells us that these things will also come. But God remains the same. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God is not going to change who he is. And he is our everything. He is everything to us. But again, based on how we've been living, based on what we've been expecting, we are not going to celebrate life. We're not going to celebrate love. And we're not going to celebrate a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. We have some other callers on the line. If you have a question or a comment, please press 1 and we'll bring you on the line as we're down to amen. Life and love. Love and life. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God for just, you know, sort of speaking to us this month about really taking a deeper look at love and relationship and how our lives are really being affected by what we've considered to be love, and the truth
it's interesting
is we've been off.
We had one response from one person to say, what is love to you? I mean, I'm like, okay, I know I got more than, it wasn't even a friend of mine on Facebook. I mean, I was like, I think it was somebody.
It was my friend,
And I was like, are you kidding me? Out of all this, and I almost went and message, hey, y'all
I don't want to give up.
You can inbox me. Just, what is your definition? It's not like a test or anything. It's just what is out there, and no one responded. No one.
I had a few. I had a few responses, but what that spoke to me is that people are not responding. And I did. I had a couple people inbox me because they wanted. They had some differences of opinion. But what that said to me is that many of us still in our adult years are not confident in what our definition of love is.
Right.
What we do know is that we've made some conscious decisions about people that we're going to spend time with. We have come into contractual obligations with people we feel we can handle things with. But not many people are secure in what they have as being love. And so in order to not scrutinize themselves and do that self-assessment, it's easier just to say nothing.
Oh, yeah, we can't do a self-assessment, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just easier to say nothing, because if I say love is patient, and that's what the word tells us, but then you think about every time you've not been patient, and you, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Love is, I can't say that, because I was really rude to the girl in the grocery store the other day. Love is long-suffering, suffering long. No, I don't want to suffer long. I don't want to suffer at all. No, I don't want to use that definition of love either. Love is God. Okay, yeah, that's the big one. Love is
I'll
God.
Use that one.
However, I'm going to use that one, because that's the big one. Love is God, and my life is in God. But I don't really have a relationship with Jesus, because if you look at how I'm living, you clearly see that I'm of my father's the devil. You know, there's nothing about me that glorifies God at this very present moment. So, oops, maybe I shouldn't use that one either.
Yeah.
Life and love, love and life. The question this morning is for all of us is, how are you living? How are you living? How are you living? If someone were to map your life today, just today, how are you living? Are you living according to his plan for your life? Are you living according to his word? Are you a student of his word, that you're hiding the word in your heart so that you're not sinning against him? How are you living? If we were to map you today, would it exemplify the love of God?
Mm.
Just today. We're not just today.
Yeah.
From the time you woke up this morning and you're listening on the air, just today, does it speak to love and life according to God's plan? I know I hear somebody going, Lord Jesus, man, I messed up and it's only 8:30. You know, it's only 8:30. Oops. But we've got to become conscious of this thing. And like I told the ladies at Live at 5 that this month of February, I really want to love. I want to focus on loving like I've never loved before, you know, loving those who are close and near and dear to me, but loving those who are a distance away from me, being able to exemplify the love of God, loving those who are unlovable, having a conversation with those whose head is hanging down and they're feeling shunned, showing forth the love of God so that someone else's life might be impacted so that they now want to live.
Right.
I mean, we don't have time, but we could talk about those who have dealt with suicide thoughts.
Right.
And you have to wonder, what makes you think about wanting to take your life if you say you know God and you felt the love of God? What then speaks to you about wanting to end it? So again, we look at life and love and life, and how are we doing it, and how are we making the proper impact for those who need to hear the word of God, need to know what God is saying about his plan for their life and the purpose that he has for them, and how he desires that they live in his will. Oh, but God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you that we're learning and we're growing and we're making differences, God. We're accepting the fact that we've got to make some changes so that our lives will glorify you, God, that if you map us today like we know you're already going to do, that you will be glad in us, God. That you will truly be glorified, God, that the steps of the righteous are ordered by you. We say order our steps, O God. Order our steps in your word, O God. Continue to teach us how to love. And as we learn how to love, God, it will help us to live a life according to your plan. And we thank you for it. We ask that you would forgive us this day right now, God, for all that we've done, for every misstep that we've taken, for every lie that we've told according to what love is, God, for every person we hurt, God, for every idle word we spoke, God. We ask that you would forgive us this day, oh God. That we would say the right thing, do the right thing, God, that we would express your love, that which would be pleasing to you. Let us communicate love, not just with our words, but with our deeds, Father. Let us be an expression of your love towards us, that you loved us so much so that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you for it, God. We're going to love up on you today, God, because you love up on us. We're going to love up on your people today, God, because you love up on us. And we thank you for it, Father.
Thank
you for it, Father. And we count this done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Thank you, Minister Hope, for co-hosting. always, we encourage you, do something every day to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, please empower someone else. God bless you. Until next time.